Well, as I said earlier, it is good to be in the house of the Lord together. And I am so glad that we have had many voices all this morning where we have heard over and over again the concern for what's going on in our country. So don't think that's been forgotten. We'll get there again in just a couple of minutes. But throughout Paul and Barnabas's journey, starting all the way back in Acts 13, and you know, it kind of amazes me that a time span of a year or more only takes like two pages in our whole Bible. But they have faithfully preached the gospel. It was the work that they were called to do by the Holy Spirit and commissioned to by the church in Antioch. And can I just take a minute to check something with you? How many of you noticed, if you were here last week and you remember the map that we had up on the screens, there are two cities named Antioch. I didn't know that until last week. I hadn't paid any attention to it. One is Pisidian Antioch, which is the one we're talking about in this, we've been talking about. It's located in the province of Pisidia, north of the Mediterranean, so up here. And then the other one is usually just called Antioch, located on the east of the Mediterranean, and that's the Antioch that Paul and Barnabas were sent out from and are going to return to. And this is the one where they were kicked out last week. So at every stop along the way, Barnabas and Paul found some people who were receptive to the gospel and some who were resistant to the gospel. So it's the same thing that Jesus encountered. Some people were very receptive to him. Some people were very resistant to him. But they just kept preaching the same glorious gospel message everywhere they went. They were putting one foot in front of the other, whether they were walking toward a city or running away from one. They just kept putting one foot in front of the other. You know, sometimes you get news that impacts your life for good. And then, quite suddenly, the person who brings you that news isn't there anymore, and you have to figure out what to do to keep using that news correctly so that it can have its full intended and good effect in your life. Now, one example of this that occurs to me is the spiel that the hotel front desk person gives you when you check in. Mrs. Roberts, you'll be staying with us 5 nights. And that's an unexpected question to me, and I kind of nod, going, I hope I'm not lying right now. Sure, 5 nights, sounds good. Then they hand you this little folder, and they point to something that you really can't quite read without your reading glasses. Your room is right here. Here are your keys. The Wi-Fi password is printed right there on the folder. Breakfast will be available between 6:30 and 9:30 every morning right over there. And we have happy hour in the same location from 4 to 6 every night and 5 to 7 on Saturdays. The elevator's right over there. And when you get out, just turn left, and you'll find your room down the hall. Just let us know if you need anything. Well, maybe this doesn't happen to you, but for me, after a short night's sleep and a long day of travel, keeping track of all of that important information can be a bit much, because at every hotel, it's the same thing, only different. So usually what I do is try to catch as much as I can, and then I figure out the rest as I go. But a couple of weeks ago, as I checked into my hotel for General Assembly, it had been an unusually short sleep and long travel. I finally stopped the young man in mid-spiel, and I said, "Please speak slowly." Something about my manner must have gotten through to him, because he actually stepped out from behind the desk. They never do that. He put his hand gently on my arm, and he said, "The elevator is that door right there. Push the button for floor number 2. Then turn left when you get out. Okay?" Yes. Thank you. I can assure you I was much better after I got dinner that night and sleep for the following day. But wow, that was quite a moment. Paul and Barnabas had given the Gentile believers some very important information, too, much more important than the information in my example. People all over the region had had their worlds turned upside down by the very best kind of good news. The God of all creation had carried out his plan through Jesus to include them in his family. They had become daughters and sons of his kingdom, fully adopted heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And then As quickly as Barnabas and Paul had arrived, the two apostles were gone, and all of those new believers, at least for a time, were finding their way into what the good news meant for their everyday lives. But they weren't forgotten. Listen to what Paul and Barnabas chose to do as we hear this passage of Scripture. So I'm looking at Acts chapter 14, and I'm beginning at verse 21. They preached the gospel in that city, that is Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll hear a bit more of our scripture a little bit later. The good news of the gospel gave the early church confidence to gather, regardless of the situation. And I'm going to reach back into last week's scripture and just underline something that Jameson pointed out to us, but I really want to draw our attention to it one more time. In chapter 14, verse 19, just before I began reading, we are meant to understand that Paul was so obviously injured from the stoning that he seemed to be dead. That was the reason they dragged him outside the city. That's what they did with dead bodies. So when Luke says the believers gathered around Paul, I think there's an implied word there. They gathered to do what? To pray and to minister to his physical needs as best they could. Now, exactly how long that took or how fully healed he was that night, we don't know. But their prayers and their care for him were instrumental in his healing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul got up and with courage went back into the city. And the next day, he and Barnabas walked on to Derbe, where they proclaimed the gospel and won a large number of disciples. And it seems like nothing terrible happened there, and that must have been a relief to them. So I asked myself, what is the equivalent of this in Fresno today? Well, at the very least, when we know that one of our own has been wounded, and I don't just mean people in this church, do we gather around them, pray for and minister to their needs, physical and otherwise? Do we pray expecting the Holy Spirit to intervene with power? But also, as you already know, thinking about people being wounded brought me immediately to the events of the last several days. And I have been, as I'm sure most of you have been, just quite deeply touched by it all. And it's not far from any of our minds, I don't think. So I asked myself the question again. In light of the events of the last few days, do we, as Christ's disciples, implore God to heal and restore every person who has been wounded? Do we resolutely seek to make God's faithfulness and justice and loving kindness known in every situation where evil shows its face so that God's glory will be on display? Church, we are blessed and we are graced with the responsibility to visibly demonstrate the gospel at all times, and especially in times of crisis and trauma. We have gospel confidence to gather and pray. Here we are this morning, bringing our prayers of lament and healing and shalom for our cities and for the relationships between law enforcement personnel and civilians. Will we have the gospel consistency to rise up tomorrow and walk God's message to the places where it is so desperately needed? Places where the evil one is agitating to assure that there are no wins and that losses continue to mount. How will the church show gospel courage to get up and go back into the city to minister to those in need there? And we've already heard a few other prayers and a few other thoughts this morning, but right now I'm going to ask you to do something we don't usually do. We're going to take a couple of minutes to pray together. Well, we do that sometimes, but not, I'm going to have you turn to pray together with one another Here's how I would ask you to pray. So be thinking in these next preparation moments. To pray together for wisdom, good judgment, the reign of the Holy Spirit in my life and in the lives of all believers. That people would be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That those who have suffered injustice would be heard, and that changes would be made to right wrongs. That self-discipline and careful speech would once again become values in our media and more present in our public discourse. And that a more united church would be at the center of efforts for peace and justice. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of people near you and launch into prayer just now. Please do not introduce yourselves to each other. Don't say good morning. You'll have time for that after the service. And don't spend time talking about what you're going to pray about. Just start praying and trust the Holy Spirit to lead your prayers. And in 2 minutes, which is a very short time to pray about this, I will close our time. Please turn to one another and pray. It really helps, Chris, get my microphone on if I don't turn it off. That was all my fault. Sound guys have a thankless task because it always looks like it's their fault even when it's not. Thank you so much for praying together. Thank you so much for it. I love the sound of God's people praying, don't you? Don't you just love to hear that? Well, from Derby, Paul and Barnabas could have gone east and headed for their home base, but instead, they chose to go the long way around and retrace their steps and strengthen the hearts of the disciples, encouraging them to remain true in the faith. They returned to all those cities where they had been in danger and either been driven out or fled to establish the churches more securely. The believers in every town would have known. They would have learned about the way that Paul and Barnabas had been treated in all the other towns. And Paul must have had, if not still wounds, because we don't know how much time has passed, but at least scars from being stoned. It's no wonder that when they came back through, they made a point to tell the people, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't sound like a very attractive church growth strategy, does it? And I'm sure Paul's wounds attested to that. And it also sounds kind of as though putting ourselves in troubling situations could be a way to earn entrance into God's kingdom. So I looked up a couple of other translations that helped me a little bit with these thoughts. The Holman Standard Bible says, it is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. And the Message says, anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times. Both of those translations helped me a little bit to mitigate those ideas. Barnabas and Paul were just reiterating what Jesus had said to his disciples in the upper room, weren't they? In this world you will have trouble. Because they had found it to be true. And they knew that the other people, especially as new believers, needed to know it as well. Sometimes I think that in our desire to see people come to Christ, we fail to acknowledge that following Jesus is not often easy or comfortable. And the Holy Spirit can be relentless in getting his way. Do you remember the guy from a Stephen Ministry video that we showed a few weeks ago who said he didn't see himself fit as ministry at all for that ministry at all? But then he says, for three and a half months, the Holy Spirit just kept hitting me on the back of the head right here. That was the spot. That's what he said. So finally, I kept thinking, don't go away. Go away. I don't have time for that. And finally, I was goaded into getting the application out. The gospel does not leave things or people as it finds them. And I think we do well, honestly, to help folks understand and to remind ourselves regularly that change is to be expected and embraced as we follow Jesus. So where is the Holy Spirit working in you right now? What edge is he pressing and reshaping so you will be more like Jesus? Maybe it's trusting more completely in God's unfailing goodness or practicing listening more closely to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's moving more quickly from what to yes, Lord. What change is the Holy Spirit prompting you to embrace in order to be formed more closely into the image of Christ? As Paul and Barnabas retraced their steps, Luke tells us that they appointed elders in each church. That was another kind of strengthening and encouragement, gathering the people together and naming leaders who would shepherd the flock of God as the two apostles went on their way. And right here, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to ask my good friend, Mark Ford, to come, because he is going to invite our children to come up as well. Thanks, Mark. We're going to gather the kids up front right now.
This is a solo. I need kids. Come on up, have a seat. Yeah, good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, when you get up here, we're going to pass out some strings to you, different size strings. You can sit down. We're not going to have a chorus. Your Uncle Barnabas and your Uncle Paul, they went north to visit their Auntie Ock. Yeah, that part of the kids' sermon, but it was free. Okay, come on, squeeze in, squeeze in. Ah. Oh. Hi, darling. Yeah. Is it fun seeing yourself up there? Look at it. See? Is that good? All right. Can we pass out some strings here? Now, in this front row, I'm going to pass out a string. You just everybody be sure you can touch it. All righty. And in the back row, I'm going to pass out and make sure everybody back here can touch this in some way. Don't do anything with it yet. Don't take that one. Okay? And you guys take this one right here. Okay? And we have those passed out. What we're passing out is some twine rope, and the small kids there were passing out some pieces of thread. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Okay, does everybody have, can you touch that rope? Does everybody have a rope or a spring? Or
I don't have a string.
You don't have one? Here. Here you go. Here. And you, because you two are going to do something together. Okay? All righty. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want the back rows with the twine. I want you to pull that twine, just pull it apart. This row with the twine, I want you to unravel it. And everybody, and this will, you will try to unravel this as well. Everybody with a thread, break it as fast as you can. And then put your hand up in the air when you're done breaking it, or have everything unraveled so I know. Okay, the threads are going pretty fast. Yeah, that's good. Okay, you got this thread. These guys did it. Well, how's it going there? No, untwine. Wrap. What's the deal? Okay, but all the little ones too, see? You got these little ones you got to undo too. Are you getting it? How you doing? You guys, okay, you broke your threads, good. What about the rope? Did you break it, or just, is that as far as you got?
Yeah.
Did I say you could quit? All right, we will quit. Here's the deal, kiddos. The thread that these guys broke, how many broke the thread just like that? All right. How many broke the rope just like that? What happened? How many untwisted the rope just like that? Okay. That's what gathering together is. If you're by yourself, when you are one-on-one by yourself, you're as thin as that thread. When you want to work together as the body of Christ and you want to work together as a church, then you become like this rope. It's still stringy. You're still part of it, but you're part of a group of people that make you stronger because you've wrapped your life up with theirs. That's why we come together at church. We come together at church so we can learn how to twist ourselves with each other and how to move and how to work and how to get to know what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are so that we can be strong when we take the gospel and we go out into the earth. Now, the one way that you have to do this is you have to not just slow down and talk to God, but you have to stop and talk to God. One time, my dad was taking his son out for a driving lesson, and the son rolled a stop sign. And dad said, stop. So the kid pulls over and he stops. And he says, why didn't you stop at that stop sign? And he said, well, I slowed down. Well, the dad took his kid and he started pounding him in the back of the head pretty hard, like this. He says, okay, do you want me to slow down or you want me to stop? Okay? You want to stop so you can concentrate on God and gather together so you can work on it. We good with that? Okay, thanks so much for coming up here. Are you wrapped? Are we keeping here?
No, they can go.
Stay up here.
Yeah, you can stay up here. You can stay up here. Is that okay? Can I sit with you?
No. Life with the Lord is full of surprises. And many of them are quite delightful. So I'm going to turn myself a little bit this way so that I can include them as we talk. So Paul and Barnabas went back and they appointed elders in each church. And that way they were able to gather the church together and give the church some form. And for us, we might think that, wow, that was pretty quick for them to appoint elders so fast in such a short period of time. But we think that most of those people had come from the synagogue, and so they had theological background, they knew their scriptures, and they were mature enough to lead. But more importantly, Paul and Barnabas asked the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to tell them who they should appoint as elders, and so they did. And when they left each city, they prayed and they fasted for those people, and they gave them those tasks of teaching the people, shepherding the people, and exercising discipline. And that can only happen with total dependence when we stop and listen to the Lord. So Luke tells us that they committed that new leadership in each church so that the Lord would provide through them what is necessary to take the churches to the next spiritual generation. The rest of our scripture this morning says, after going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, those are all P words, they went down to Attalia. Then they sailed back to Antioch, that's the one that they had come from, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. And on arriving there, they gathered the church together, just like Mark gathered the kiddos together here this morning, and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, preaching the gospel along the way. So here is the third gathering of the church from this morning. So they can report to that sending church what God had done through them in the year plus that they had been away. And Luke summarizes for us actually earlier in chapter 13 what God has done. Here's what he says. When the Gentiles heard the gospel, they were glad, and they honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, and the new disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that in that God is given credit, as the message says, for throwing the door of faith wide open so people of all nations could come streaming in? Kiddos, last Sunday, were any of you here for Sneaker Sunday? Did you go out with your parents and pick up some trash, do some tidying? Any of you do that? Well, there were a whole bunch of us who did, and we stayed after worship to love our neighborhood. We picked up trash in the streets and in the alleys, and we prayed for the neighborhood while we walked and greeted. And in a couple of cases, they prayed with neighbors who were just out in their yards. Afterward, we had that same kind of reporting right out here on our patio that the church in Antioch had with Paul and Barnabas when their return. Now, I will say that last week we had some really awesome otter pops. And I don't think they had otter pops in Antioch back in the day. But other than that, it was pretty much like it. You can see a picture of that group on our Facebook page if you want to look at that. And you know what? The reporting part was really important because each of us learned from each other how God was at work as we listened to each other tell our stories about what we did. And Randy White facilitated the sharing time. I want to thank Randy for that again because he just jumped in and did that when I asked him. He not only helped us understand more about the neighborhood, he encouraged us to share our hopes and our dreams for the future of Lowell, and then led us in a time of prayer together. It's true. What we were able to do in a short time and with just a few people is a tiny amount in comparison to the needs of the neighborhood. On the other hand, I believe in the power of little things, like mustard seeds and children, and intentional acts of kindness. And I believe God often uses little things in ways beyond what we can ask or imagine, just so we will know without any question it was God who was at work. God definitely did something with us gathered that wouldn't have been nearly as good if we had gone by ourselves. One of the people who prayed with one of our Lowell neighbors said this, "It made me want to go back. It made me think of them as friends." That's a little thing with big possibilities. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, that your gospel is true, that it changes our lives and it changes your world, that you don't leave us the same as you found us, but you are at work. Thank you, God, that we have confidence to gather and that we know that you are the one who is at work. So, God, we commit ourselves to pray and speak and walk as your disciples so that many people will walk through the open door to your kingdom and your glory will fill the earth. And all of God's people gathered here said, Amen.